Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fan Interference with Wichita Wingnuts manager Pete Rose Jr. Fan Interference is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Wichita manager questions about the Wingnuts, baseball or sports in general, or just seek Pete's wisdom about life events that are going on. In this week's episode, Pete talks to us about the performance of Tyler Cain, he discusses the release of Doug Simonac, and Pete gives advice to a man frustrated by his embellishing brother. So let's join Fan Interference. Well, let's welcome back manager Pete Rose Jr. Pete, do you have team updates for us?
Let's see. We signed Jesse Pratt back. Garrett Gold was a little banged up, so we ended up giving him some rest. He needs a lot of rest, so we put him on the shelf for a little bit and signed Jesse. Daniel Gutierrez came in from, he was going to be here at the beginning of the year, and then ended up to going to Mexico and then now coming back. So. But other than that, we're moving along and trying to grind out this last month.
You've been using a lot of your starters in relief roles lately. Is that just kind of just giving them some work?
We've been down as far as Eddie Medina's been on the disabled list. We moved Kuschmal back to the back end of the bullpen. So for a while there, we were kind of going with a three-man staff, so we were kind of low on relievers. So, and then we come back from Winnipeg, we had the doubleheader on Monday, which that's 14 innings instead of 9. So we're just short on arms, and we just had the starters throwing their bullpen day in the game as opposed to throwing a bullpen. So just a little short on arms, and once we get through this series here against Kansas City, we should be back up and running.
You had Lincoln last week. You went to Winnipeg this last weekend, and now you have Kansas City. What are your kind of thoughts about those three teams?
Three really, really good teams. I mean, they win a lot of games, for a reason. I mean, Winnipeg took it to us up there. Tip your hat to Rick and Tom. They do a heck of a job up there, and they've done that for a while, and they're a solid team. You know, Bobby's done a great job in Lincoln. They're leading the league as far as the best record in the league, and then Joe in his first year here in Kansas City, got a heck of a team as well. So three really great teams, and you tip your hat to those guys, and they're three really quality teams that are going to be tough to beat in the postseason once they get there, and if we're fortunate enough, once we get there, then it all starts over, and you just kind of go from there. But really good teams, and if we want to beat any of those teams, we have to play our best baseball.
Danny Gutierrez looked brilliant for you in his first start. Just went the 2 innings. So is he kind of working up arm strength at this point?
Yeah, just trying to get him extended out. He hadn't pitched for a while in Mexico, and then we got him. He came back. I think he had a wedding to go to, so I think it's been about. Maybe 10, 12, 13 days that he hadn't thrown. So, instead of throwing him right in the fire, hey, you got to throw 5 or 6 or whatever, you want him to get his feet wet and kind of just get back to doing what he normally does and getting back in the routine. But, threw good the other night. It's the first time I ever, had eyes on him. Really good stuff. You can tell he's a true professional. I mean, hits his spots, good breaking balls. Come right at you, which is a competitor. So, but I love what I saw, and looking forward to seeing him even more.
I know there was talk earlier about Tyler Cain moving to the bullpen. He goes out and beats Lincoln, and then Kansas City. Is he kind of earning himself a spot back in the rotation here?
I just think it, at the time, he kind of went back in the bullpen just because all of our other starters were doing so well, and we had to make a spot for Tim Brown. And, TK can do whatever. I mean, he could be a back-end guy. He could be a long guy. And, last night he came out and did a hell of a job through 7 innings last night, pitched really well. But, he's probably going to stay in the rotation, I would say. We just got to figure out, the timetable on Eddie getting back. It's kind of comfortable when you got, kind of a decent-sized lead that you don't have to bring guys back. You can kind of let them get healthy and kind of look at the bigger picture. But, he's done a hell of a job all year. He did a hell of a job, when he got here last year. He pitched game four against Winnipeg last year in the championship series. So he's got great stuff, and he works hard and he battles, but, had another quality start last night.
Well, let's head to fan questions. We begin with Ben from Wichita. He says, because the team has played so much better at home than on the road, do you believe that home field advantage is essential for a title run?
No, I don't really play into that. I personally, and that's a funny stat because I think we play better on the road, to be honest with you, just because our guys like to, you know, get around each other more so than being here. You kind of go different ways. You know, on the road, we get on the bus, go to the ballpark, come back. You know, we're all in the same place at the hotel. But, you know, whatever happens, happens. If anything, we had home field last year and we lost. So, you know, maybe if it's meant to be, maybe we'll take the not the home field and we'll see what that does. But I don't really pay much attention to that stuff.
Jeremy from Wichita would like to know, after you've seen all the different likely playoff teams, which one is the most impressive to you?
All of them. I mean, they all got to be really good teams to get in the playoffs. But, you know, from talking to me as much as you have, you know, I really don't pay any attention to anybody else. I just try to figure out what we got to do and how we got to get better, and I just kind of concentrate on my guys. But whoever it is, wherever it is, what time it is, you know, we'll show up and we'll throw it out there, and wherever the chips fall, they'll fall. But, you know, my guys will be ready to go if we get there. I mean, we got to – you know, get in the dance, so to speak, first, and I think once that happens, I think you know, we'll be ready to go.
I've always thought that the name on the jersey, front or back of the opposing team, didn't really matter to you.
You know, it doesn't. I mean, the only front of the jersey means how much you know, how much bus time you have to go, and then the name on the back, I probably couldn't tell you who they are, if, you know, not unless I know them personally, just because you know, the stat pack comes in every day. I give mine to Marty Medina. I could care less about stats. I don't really look at them. You know, maybe that's a bad part. Maybe I need to look at more stats, but I'll pass on that. But you're right. It really doesn't matter. I just worry about our 23 and kind of go from there.
Next up is Sal from Park City. He says, Pete, I have to ask this. At the start of the season, everything seems so set with the team and it all looks so ideal in terms of who did what and how games would go. Now it seems like there are a lot of question marks. Is that how you see it?
I don't see a lot of question marks. I'd like to know what question marks he's talking about. You know, when you win as many games as we won, there really can't be a lot of question marks, so to speak. But you know, it's the whole saying, you know, you're good on paper, well, you got to go out and play the game, and that's what we've done. And you know, baseball's different on a daily basis, where one day it's different than the next, and the next day is different than that day, and vice versa. So you got to move your pieces in and out, and then figure out you know, who goes where, who pitches here, who bats where. But we've been pretty consistent lineup-wise, as far as, you know, pretty much the whole year until we had a couple different moves. But besides that, you know, and you just let guys go out and do what they do, and then if you have to make adjustments, we did. So, but, yeah, we haven't made a lot of crazy deals or have a lot of question marks. But, you know, if we can find some, I'm definitely open to hearing about them, you know.
Mike from Sioux City would like to know what you thought about Doug Semenek being let go.
What a shame. I mean, Semmy's a great guy. I mean, look at his record. I mean, he's been in this league from the start. I mean, I remember, you know, playing in Winnipeg in 2002. That was the first time I met him. And just what a great guy. I mean, he's a baseballer. He's an old baseball. He's a catcher. You know, you think of Fargo Moorhead Redhawks, you think of Doug Semenek. I mean, that's just it's if you think of the, and I don't want to compare him by any means, but if you think of the Cincinnati Reds, you think of Pete Rose. I mean, if you think of the Yankees, you think of Babe Ruth. But if you think of Fargo Moorhead, you think of Doug Semenek, and rightfully so. I mean, what a great career he had there and a great run, you know. And he's a winner. I mean, he had 5-6 division or league champion, you know, league titles or whatever. But you know, if he wants to get back in it, I'm sure somebody would hire him in a heartbeat. But I thought it was kind of a weird timing, but maybe there was some stuff going on up there that maybe nobody knows about. But you know, it stinks to lose him, because you know, I talked to him, you know, during the season and when we play him, obviously, and you know, just a super nice guy, and you know, a great baseball guy.
Next up is Sean from Chicago. He says, you got a close look at the Goldeyes now. What do you think of them after the Rosario trade?
Yeah, it helped them, definitely. You know, he threw good against us the first night. We came out on top, you know, whatever. But, you know, he's a heck of a pitcher, and it's, you know, he's in a place where they're going to, you know, try to win a title. So, You know, definitely makes him better. I think when you can add a pitcher like Charlie, I think it's going to help, you know, anybody. I mean, any team that you send him to, you know, he's going to help. I mean, obviously, you know, look what he did in Gary. I mean, he's an all-star pitcher. You know, he goes out and gives you everything he has. So, you know, great trade on Rick's part. And, you know, obviously they're gearing up towards the playoff run. And, you know, it's definitely going to help them in the long run.
Next up is Ian from Wichita. He says, I remember you talking about how your dad won more games than anyone in sports history. Being as competitive as he was, did he ever get used to losing?
Never. No, never. Losing was, it was never accepted. I mean, obviously he lost, but, you know, if you're sitting there trying to see who can throw the furthest sunflower seed, he's going to try to beat you. But never in my life have I ever seen him, you know, take losing happily and always kind of grumpy in a bad mood. So absolutely not.
Barry from Phoenix says, the Dodgers are like 50 games over 500. That's just crazy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, what a team. I mean, what a staff, what a bullpen. You look what Clay Bellinger's done. And you know, the thing is they're young. I mean, that's the scary part. But, you know, I've seen a couple of those guys back when I was in the White Sox, obviously sharing a spring training home and instructional league with the Dodgers. You know, Bellinger and Seager and Jock Peterson and those guys. What a talented team, man. And, you know, it's the same thing here. You can go out and be 100 games over, but you know what? Once the dance starts, everybody goes back to 0-0, and it's all about winning series after, you know, after that. But what a heck of a team and a heck of a run. And, you know, Dave Roberts, what a heck of a guy, man. Great manager and doing a heck of a job. But, yeah, definitely fun to watch.
They're on pace to break that Mariners record for most wins.
It's amazing. I mean, to be 50 games over in the big leagues, I mean, wow. I mean, you really can't say anything about it. It's impressive. I mean, and, you know, they won again last night. You know, they scored, I think, 5 in the eighth. I mean, the way they win is just, it's something different every night. And they're just, you know, they're fun to watch. And, you know, you got one of their best players that's still on the disabled list, and Adrian Gonzalez. I mean, he hadn't even really played all year. So, but, yeah, it's crazy. It's really crazy.
Brandon from Overland Park says, I know you're a big Tim Tebow fan. Wasn't it cool when he sang God Bless America with that little kid?
Amazing. I mean, you marvel at the guy on what he does on a daily basis. I mean, you know, the one kid, he went over and shook his hand. Next thing you know, he gets up and hits a homer. And you know what? I bet if you ask him, he was more happy to shake the kid's hand than to hit the homer. But what a tremendous guy and a you know, a great role model to look up to. And you know, like I've said on here many times, I wish him nothing but the best. I think, you know, he should be in the NFL quarterback in some team right now because he's just a winner. I mean, everything he does, he wins. And, you know, obviously the people love him. I mean, look at the attendance in the Florida State League. I'm sure it's up tremendously. I played in that league, and the fan base was just not very good just because it's so hot. And, you know, spring training is always down there. But, you know, what a great story. And like I said, wish him nothing but the best.
You know, I watched when he got hit by that pitch in the head, and I thought everybody named something other than Tebow would have charged the mound at that moment.
Yeah, you know, it was crazy. And I think that they were on the road, and you heard all the home fans booing, and it was just like, wow, what's really going on here? I mean, usually you don't hear that, you know, so to speak, but unbelievable. Unbelievable.
He's quite a guy for sure. Owen from Cincinnati would like to know, how many games do you think it will take to win the AFC Central this year?
You know, I don't know. They played. Joe Mixon looked good the first preseason game last week. You know, AJ McCarron solid. Defense looked a little shaky, but they only played a series or something. But I'll say 10. Maybe 9 or 10, but I think they're going to be okay. I like what they're doing, and you know, they get Mixon in the mix, and you know, Ross hasn't played yet, and you know, Tyler Boyd still hasn't you know, did anything, you know, hadn't played yet. So I'm looking forward to it.
Next up, we have Carl from Dodge City. He would like to know. He says, "Why would Jay Cutler come back? I just don't get it."
Probably because he wants to play football. I mean, I think it's a no-brainer for him just because Adam Gase, you know, he knows the offense. He was his quarterback coach. But, you know, why isn't Tim Tebow the quarterback in Miami Dolphins? That's what I'm saying. But, you know, hey, he wants to play baseball, and hey, let him go. I mean, or football, I'm sorry. You know, let him go and see what happens. But, you know, if he can get his act together, I mean, he's got the talent. It's just a matter of leading a bunch of a 53-man roster and see what he can do.
You know, I think sometimes people don't get is that why wouldn't you play?
I mean, if you could ask me, hey, you want to play one more year of baseball? Absolutely. I wish, you know, I didn't have a knee, you know, my knee wasn't, you know, replaced, because absolutely. I mean, you know, once you retire, that's it. It's an adjustment period, because you miss, you know, for me, and I'm sure with him, you just miss being around in the locker room with the guys and the camaraderie and, you know, getting, you know, going out and playing as a team and that stuff. But yeah, I'm with you. Why wouldn't he play? I mean, just because of his track record. Hey, if somebody said, hey, we want to, you know, let you play first base in the big leagues for the Giants. Absolutely, you know, titanium knee and all, I'm out of here. You know, hang with them, and just to get, you know, get out there one more time. And you know, it's kind of like the Stars here in Kansas for that tournament. I mean, why wouldn't those guys come back and play? I mean, you know, is it being an athlete, you miss it. So I'm happy for them.
What if they ask you to play in Pittsburgh?
For the Pirates, absolutely. Steelers, no chance. But Pirates, absolutely.
Next, we have a question from somebody who calls himself Troubled. He says, "I am just looking for an objective voice. I cheated on my wife. She has no idea, but I feel so guilty. I am worried how she will react if I tell her. Am I right to keep that to myself, or does she have the right to know?"
Man, that might be too deep of a question for me. You know, I think you'll sleep a lot better if you get it off your chest. But you know, I don't know who she is or how she's going to act. So you know, obviously, if you know, maybe you're thinking about getting out. Maybe that's why you did it. But if you get it off your chest, maybe you'll sleep a little bit better at night. So I'm going to let him make that decision, but I would probably get it off my chest.
Concerned Son says, "My father is 56 and out living like he is 22, drinking late, hanging out at clubs, dating women half his age. I don't want to say act your age, but..."
You know, it's funny because people don't tell me, you know, I don't act my age. I know my dad's 76. He doesn't act his age. It's all what's in your heart. And, you know, if you're, you know, living a crazy lifestyle as far as getting after it, and, you know, maybe that'll catch up to you. But if you feel young at heart and you know, it helps you stay young, more power to him. Maybe the son's just jealous that he can't be out at the club hanging out and dating the younger women. So, but no, more power to him, and you know, keep living your life, man.
Hey, if you're 56 and 28-year-old women will go out with you.
There you go. You're doing something right. I can tell you that much.
Our last question comes from Frustrated. He says, "My brother-in-law has a story for everything. It would not surprise me if he told people he went to the moon 2 years before Neil Armstrong. What can be done about this?"
I don't know if anything can be done about it. Maybe maybe videotape the story and post it, and then maybe get some backlash from that. But it sounds like a Tommy Topper to me. I mean, just, you know, I don't know. That's, yeah, we'll leave it at that one.
Thanks for joining us, Pete.
You got it, man.
We want to thank manager Pete Rose Jr. for joining us on Fan Interference this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Wichita Wingnut Skipper, please send them to us at askpete@minorleaguesportsreport.com. That's askpete@minorleaguesportsreport.com. Please have your questions to us by Sunday evening so we can give Pete a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Fan Interference.